Was that funny? I didn't hear any laughing. That was supposed to be funny. There's a 1987 movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I went to see it with my family. I was not prepared for that. I don't know you can be prepared for that. You know, and I don't know if you've seen it or not, but what it's about is this individual. His name is Neil Page, played by, of course, Steve Martin. And, of course, along co-starring with him was John Candy. He played a character named Dale Griffith. And Dale Griffith is this very obnoxious person. And what they're trying to do is get home for Thanksgiving, thus Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. They can't get them. And so it's a very frustrating time for them. And with the combination of this very obnoxious person, Dale Griffith, Neil Page, develops this horrific, this sour attitude. And from that sour attitude erupts this volcano of profanities. It comes out and it spews its lava and its ash all over everyone and everything. It's every place. That's what this is about. You know, and I know that a lot of Christians, what we have is we're sort of indifferent to cussing and profanity. Well, you know, but I think all Christians everywhere should be in agreement that cussing and profanity is a very unattractive trait. It definitely damages our witness. This is why people call us hypocrites. This is why people say, I'm that good, you know. They talk like that. I don't talk that bad. You know, but beyond even that, cussing and profanity is a way of hurting people. If you're ever in an environment of profanity and cussing, what it does is it just hurts people. In an environment of that, you know, people are not respected. In fact, the opposite is true. When there is an environment of cussing and profanity, people are degraded. They're not edified and uplifted. When you're in an environment of cussing and profanity, what you'll also find, is arguing all the time. You'll find anger going on. And this is leading to violence and home violence and even Christian violence. I mean, this is what happens, and it's all because of the attitude. The attitude erupts. And this volcano of profanity initiates all this other stuff, spewing it all over the airport, spewing it all over anybody who's in hearing range. It's horrible what profanity does. Now, this is what we're going to be talking about today. And our title is this. Our title is Cussing Attitude, Silver Tongue, or Toilet Tongue. So here's where we're going to be working. All right. Now, last time that we talked, I shared with you the relationship. I used the your personal character, PC, as in relationship to your personal computer, your PC. And I talked about how this little tiny malware virus, invisible, can get into your personal computer and corrupt it. It goes through the hard drive and into the CPU, the central processing unit. And when it gets there, it defiles the computer. It corrupts the computer. And when it gets into us, when profanities and these things get inside of us, it's more than the mind. And it's more than words. And this is what I'm after today. What it gets down into is your central processing unit of your heart. And it defiles your whole life. And so this is what we're going to be working on. And I want to begin right where we left off last time with the exact same verse. Jesus speaking in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. He says this. The good man out of the good treasure. Would you say that back to me? Good treasure on the count of three, everybody. One, two, three. Good treasure. Out of the good treasure of his heart. Brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For, because, here's why. For, his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. So, concerning profanities and cussing and those type of things, do you have a treasure chest? Is your heart a treasure chest and your mouth and your tongue gold and silver? Or is your heart a septic tank and your mouth and your tongue a toilet? Now you may say, Delbert, that's a little rough, isn't it? Well, I don't know. You see, you tell me, the favorite word of cursors, the favorite word, the most used word for a long, long time has been the S word. And I'm not talking about Superman. This, the S word. You know, if people did it as much as they say it, the sanitation department couldn't keep up with it. And what I wanted us to see is that it's more than words. It's more than out of our minds. What I want us to see is that cussing and profanity and swearing and vulgarity and blasphemies against God and these slanders that it leads to, we're hurting people and we're cussing people and it leads into all these things that of anger and violence in homes and all of these evil things that happen to us. They come out of the heart. That's what Jesus said. It's not mine. We've got to get into the heart to really deal with these things. So this is what we're after today. This is what we're after. Now, when we evaluate people, we do it in a lot of different ways, right? We look at them. We look at their dress. You know, how people dress is a way we evaluate, or you might say judge. I think evaluation is better. But when we look at how people dress, we'll look at what and hear what other people are saying about them. What others are saying, you know, people don't even know you, but they form an opinion of you because of what others say about you. I have been evaluated and heavily judged by people that don't know me. And so have you. By your body language, facial expressions, body language, people will judge you by that. People will judge you by your skin color, by the race, your nationality. That's a big way we judge people or evaluate people. By the automobile you drive, people will evaluate you by that. People will evaluate you by your mannerisms, whether we're polite or whether we're, you know, sort of awkward in mannerisms. People will judge you by your marital status. People will judge you by your profession. There's all kinds of ways that we judge people, we evaluate people, right? But are appearances deceiving? Are appearances deceiving? Yes, you can't judge a book by its cover, right? That's appearances can be deceived. So where do we get a reliable read on a person and their character? What is it that gives a way that I can know if I want to be with this person or if I want to avoid this person, if I want this person as a relationship or I do not want this person as a relationship? How do I know? Where do I get a reliable read? How do I do? Now, I want to look at the scriptures and pull something from them so that we can understand. And in the book of Proverbs, we start getting some insight here, some wisdom. And Proverbs chapter 2, verse 12 says this. Wisdom. Here's how we get wisdom. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. So if I have wisdom, I can be saved from the ways of wicked men. From men whose words are perverse. So if I'm a wise person and I get around people that speak in perversely, profanities and cussings, what is that telling me? What is that telling me about this character, the character of this person? Our Proverbs 10:32. The lips of the righteous, know what is fitting. So I can listen to what comes out of the lips of a person to see if they're righteous or not. But the mouth of the wicked, only what is perverse. So if I'm hearing what's coming out of their mouth, whether it's perverse or whether it's righteous, I can get a pretty good read on the individual. Proverbs 18:7. A fool's mouth is his undoing. What does that mean? It means he gives himself away. He lets you know he's a fool by what comes out of his mouth. Is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. What he says alone traps him. He's a fool. So we can't be certain about an individual's character. We can't get a reliable read on the person until we hear what comes out of their mouth. Now, why is this? Why does the Bible instruct us to evaluate and key so heavily on words that come out of others' mouths? Why? And how do people key on us? I mean, how do they get a reliable read on us? By what comes out of our mouth, right? But why is this? Why is the Scripture so heavy on this? See, when I look at somebody, and I look at their outward appearance, and I evaluate them by that, that doesn't give me an image of their heart. I don't really know what's down there. In fact, that can be quite deceiving. But when I hear them talk, I'm getting a picture of that person's heart. And not only am I getting a picture of what they say, but how they say it. See, it's not only what we say, but it's how it's said. It's the attitude by which it's said that is so extremely important as well. And in our society today, you know, what we do is we put looks over language, don't we? We look, and then language will come down. We got it totally incorrect. We got it totally backwards. You know, Mark Twain is acknowledged for making this statement. You know, the author, Mark Twain, he says this, and he gets all these accolades because it sounds so wise. But he says this. He says, it's better to keep your mouth shut, closed, and let people think you're a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. Right? But he's just paraphrasing the Scripture. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28, it says, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, but discerning if he holds his tongue. You see, what comes out of us reveals our heart and what we are in our character. What comes out of us, what we say, reveals if I'm wise or if I'm a fool. It reveals if I'm righteous or if I'm perverse. We can tell by what comes out of somebody's mouth. So how do they evaluate us? By what comes out our mouths. This is how it evaluates. So your mouth gives you up. Your mouth throws you under the bus. Your mouth will determine and throw you and show people who you are. But, of course, we live in a society today that has looks over language. What's so deceitful, I suppose, is the word I'm looking for. But what's so deceitful, perhaps, about this is that we live in a society where looks can be manufactured. So we have liposuction, right? And so if we're not disciplined enough to get it out, then we can have it sucked out. If we have beauty aids, now I have nothing against beauty aids. You know I don't. Beauty aids are good. If that barn needs painting, paint that barn. Right? I like it. we have gravity defiers, Wonder Bras, you know, that defy gravity. And we have implants. Now, I think all of these are good. Don't hear me wrong at all. I think implants are one of the greatest things, especially when used in the medical profession. I think it helps give a person their self-confidence and their dignity back. I have nothing wrong with any of that. We even have Photoshop. You know, we can remove little blemishes and thin something down or puff something up. I mean, we can make it bigger or smaller. I mean, we have all of these ways to change the outward look. You know, the looks of something. You know, but language will always win. See, sometimes people think I'm Brad Pitt. We look so much alike, and. And you can be a Brad Pitt lookalike, but if you have a septic tank heart and a toilet mouth, nobody's going to want to be around me. I stink. Nobody's going to respect me. Nobody's going to listen to what I have to say. I'm repulsive. They don't want me around their children. They don't want me around their family. I stink. Now, some of you women may disagree with that. You may say, I don't know, Brad Pitt, man, I might put up with some language there. Yeah, that's why you've been so successful with your relationships. I'm being sarcastic. That's why you've been so successful with marriages and men too, because we have a society that puts looks over language. In other words, we're putting looks over the heart. And that just doesn't win. Your language is what's going to come out on top every single time, no matter how you look, because looks can be so deceiving. Right? Now, the defenders of cussing, the defenders, those who come against, who say that cussing's okay, that you can cuss, it's fine to cuss, it doesn't hurt anything, and it's just us Bible-toting Christians, you know, it's just us goody-goodies who say that cussing is bad. You know, they say it's better out than in. That's what Shrek said, right? It's better out than in is what I always say. That's what Shrek said, and he stinks up the whole place. Is it better out than in? Is it? Does it? Is it more than words? Does it go beyond deeper than words that are said? Is it only words? No. What this does, what cussing and profanities and vulgarities and obscenities and blasphemies and slander, what all of these things do to us is they corrupt us. And when I say corrupt, I want you to think of a piece of meat. Big old piece of meat that's set out and sits there for days and days and begins to corrupt, begins to rot, maggots, stinking. It looks horrible. Think about that as I read this scripture to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. What that's saying is that when this stuff, you get around in an environment of this and it gets on you, it begins to corrupt you, rotten you. When it's in you, it's corrupting you. It's rottening you. And it's your whole life decays. And this is what this stuff does. When we get in an environment of this, we begin to get it inside of us and it begins to corrupt us. It begins to defile us. So what we have to do is come to a place in our lives where we have to ask this question. What kind of person do I want to be? Do I want to be a person with integrity and character? Or do I just want to be a character like Neil Page? What do I want to be? Do I want to be rotten and corrupt and decaying? Or do I want to be a person that has a heart that brings forth good things and good treasures and have a silver tongue and a golden mouth? Is that what do I want to be? Septic or silver? See, anyone can be just a character and have a horrible attitude. Anybody can do that. It takes no effort whatsoever. All you have to do to be septic is get around septic tanks. You'll start smelling like them. It'll get on you. No one will want to be around you. Everybody will avoid you. Your children will not even want you around, your own grandchildren. Friends are ashamed of you. You stink. You stink because this stuff, this vile stuff comes out of you. And it gets on everybody else, corrupting them. So, you know, here's the deal. What do I want to be? And here's the secret. Only I get to determine. Only I get to determine what kind of character I have. How much integrity I have. Only I get to determine that. Only I get to determine what kind of attitude I have. If I have a good attitude or if I have a bad attitude. And I've said basically everything I've said to get to this particular point. What kind of attitude? Because if I want to be a person of character and integrity, what I have got to do is I've got to realize it's going to take self-discipline. It's going to take a lot of effort. And it's going to take a good or great attitude. If I don't have a good attitude, the rest of it just won't happen. And this is what I want us to see. And see, and only I get to determine that. Now, how do I know what my attitude's doing? How do I know if I have a good attitude or if I have a bad attitude? By what comes out of my mouth. See, not only does everybody around me hear it, I hear it. I hear what I say. And my words give away my attitude. And I can fix my attitude by hearing what I say. I can immediately know by what's coming out of my mouth. And I'll tell you, I am a better person when I don't cuss. I am a better person when I don't use profanities to express myself. I'm a much more person of integrity. I have a much greater character when I don't cuss. That's what I basically want to tell you today. And I want you to know that the key to stopping cussing is your attitude. You know, I said it last time. If you want to clean up your cussing, you need to first clean up your attitude. The easiest way, the fastest way, and in my opinion, the only way to clean up your cussing is to clean up your attitude. To change the way you talk and the words that come out, you've got to change your attitude. You have to develop an attitude that has character. An attitude that has integrity. An attitude. Now, I want to say this. You see, anybody can have a good attitude for 3 minutes. Right? We could all laugh for 3 minutes. I mean, we'd have great attitude for 3 minutes. But when that sudden frustration, boom, just hits you. Or that sudden aggravation, boom, just hits you. And you're not prepared for it. Then what happens? Are you septic or sober? Is your heart then, at that moment, is it a septic tank and a toilet tongue? Or at that moment when that frustration or the aggravation hits you, are you still a chest of treasure? Your heart is a chest of treasure and your tongue is gold and silver and your mouth is gold and silver. What happens when that sudden frustration happens? See, this is an attitude is developed. An attitude takes time to develop. And the last time we talked, the PC thing, personal character thing, and the PC thing, your personal computer thing. And I told you that this virus comes in, this malware virus comes in, and what it does is it gets into the hard drive and then works its way into the CPU. Now, that's its target, is to corrupt the whole thing out of the CPU. What the first line of defense is in your personal computer is your firewall. It's a computer program that runs. And now what a firewall does is it not only stops stuff from coming into your computer, corrupts stuff from getting into your computer that you don't want there, it also stops stuff from going out of your computer, like your credit card numbers, like your personal information. And if this firewall is not updated regularly, if this firewall doesn't have the latest downloads, the latest updates, then it's going to deteriorate. And that stuff can find a way in. And that stuff can find a way out. And so your firewall has to be constantly updated. Your firewall for your life, for your heart, is your attitude. And your attitude has to be constantly updated. Anybody can have a good attitude for 3 minutes. But if you don't update that attitude, the first frustration that comes along, the first aggravation that comes along, there it goes. And stuff comes in and stuff goes out. So the attitude is the first line of guarding your heart. And once you understand that your attitude guards your heart, which guards your life and keeps your life from being decayed and corrupt and rotten and stink. Once you understand that, then you'll pay more attention to your attitude. And you'll keep it constantly updated. You'll keep that firewall up so the stuff can't get in and stuff can't get out. Now, I'm winding down. I got to get to the hospital. But what I want to do is, in closing, is look at some scriptures that kind of give us an idea of our attitude, how we can tell what's going on in our attitude. So let me read these scriptures out of Proverbs to us and comment on them just a little bit. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24, it says this: pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. All right, now, we know that. We know that when we say sweet things to people, it's like healing. It's a honey. It's sweet. They need to hear it. It's sweet to them, and it brings a healing to them physically and in their soul dimension. But I have learned that when I speak sweetly to people, it's a healing to me. It's good for my soul. It's like honey. It's good for my health. It's good for my bones. It's good for my blood reproduction. It's good. See, you can relate to this by doing the opposite. What happens to you when you go into a rage and a tirade and you start cussing and using perverse words and profanities and obscenities and blasphemies? What happens? What happens to your blood pressure? Is that healthy? Huh? What's it doing to your soul? Same thing. But when we say sweet things, when we say kind things, it's not only helping that person, it's helping the person who said it. Let's look at another one. Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words or septic words pierce like a sword. But the tongue of the wise, silver tongue, brings healing. That's so true. What are you saying? What are you giving to people? Are you giving them septic words or sweet words? Are you giving them words that pierce their souls? Or are you giving them wise words that brings healing? What's your attitude? See, this comes out of the attitude. It's determined by your attitude. Proverbs 12:25. An anxious heart or an anxious attitude weighs a man down. You know that's true. When your attitude gets rotten and bad, you're down. But a kind word cheers him up. See, if you can fix that rotten attitude by giving kind words. Now, again, we mostly think of these things of us just do what it does to the person that we're saying to them. But no. When we say these things, by my giving somebody kind words, it cheers me up. I can be down, but determine that with my attitude that I'm going to say something sweet, that I'm going to say something that's going to cheer somebody up. If I'll do that, it cheers me up. It lifts me up. So, just think about it. Sweet words project and tell me I have a sweet attitude. Because my attitude comes out my mouth. Am I right? I'm going to say this. See, when I'm going to say this next week. But you don't really. See, it's not people that make you angry. It's your attitude that makes you angry. When we have sweet words coming out of us, that's showing a sweet attitude. Because our words follow our attitude, or our attitude comes out of our mouth. And then if we have good words coming out, then our attitude is good. We have a good attitude. But as our attitude begins to sour, what happens to our words? Our words begin to sour. Right? Ooh, that's not sweet. That's bitter. And then as our words follow and become more septic, then the words begin to become filthy and dirty and stink. They begin to smell up and stink up the whole area. And it begins to pull that cuss trigger we talked about last time. And when that thing goes off, you're like a volcano, like Neil Page. If your attitude's not right, you become a volcano spewing out the vomit of all the lava and the ash and all the profanities and perverseness upon everybody in hearing range, infecting and corrupting not only yourself but them. It's all about the attitude. And what I want to talk about next time, I got to stop today, but what I want to talk about next time is how do we keep that attitude updated? How do we keep the current, most relevant, recent, download on it? How do we keep the? How do we do that? How do we keep our attitude right in difficult times? When we're all going to have them, there's going to be instant frustrations. and something you're not prepared for. It just hits you. How do you handle it? What are you going to do with it? Because if your attitude's not right, you're going to have a septic tank heart and a toilet tongue. But if you've got that attitude correct, you're still going to have a heart of treasure. And your tongue is still going to be silver and your mouth is going to be gold. So, go back to what Jesus said. This week, my emphasis has been on how septic our hearts are and can become. It's like a septic tank sometimes. Christians become septic hearts. And that's been my emphasis, just to let us all know that it's not just words. These things are coming out of down somewhere deep. That's why it's so difficult to stop. I heard some of you say this week, well, I only said one word this week, or I only said five words this week, or, you know, I had one bad day. You know, I mean, so you're thinking and you're attempting to stop. But the reason that it's so stopped, you just don't turn it off like a switch, is because it's in the heart. And so our target to work with here is the key of it is the attitude. So that's what we're after. We're after the heart, because the attitude guards our heart. So back to what Jesus said. Your heart concerning cussing. Do you have a septic tank heart? And out of your mouth is like a toilet? Do you have a toilet tongue? Or is your heart a treasure chest? And your tongue and your mouth is gold and silver. I know nobody wants to have a septic tank heart. Nobody does. But the way you stop it is with the attitude. What kind of a person do you want to be? Do you want to be a person of integrity and character? It's your attitude. It's going to determine it. Or do you just want to be a character? Like Neil Page. You know, every time I watch now a movie with Steve Martin in it, my mind goes back to this, because it was such a defiling thing to me when I was there. I had just gone into the ministry when it happened. 1987. Been in the ministry 2 years. And I sat there and that blasted me. And I can't watch a movie now with Steve Martin in it and I don't think about this. This is how I remember him. I don't want people to remember me like this. Neither do you. I don't want my grandchildren, my children, my friends. Here's what I want them to say about Delbert. You know what, Delbert? Yeah. He had a good heart. Let me pray for you.